Good evening. Welcome to God in the Picture with Zibuse Elgunene on Impact 103. It's been a long time. Hey, the last time I was on radio with you was last week, Thursday, 6 until 6:30. This is our new time slot. And so we are going to delve deeper into meaningful conversations. Now, welcome to this Thursday evening's edition. I just wanted to kind of formally welcome you. I don't know where you are, and I don't know what you're doing, but I just want to say, if you're driving, just do me a favor. Just go beep, beep with your car, and if somebody looks around and they look at you, just smile at them and just wave and say hello. And if you ever get to a point where you actually meet that person, just say, hey, God loves you. And I hope we get to do more and more of that as we go along. Now, it is a beautiful Thursday, and the weather has been nice and warm. And, you know, you can tell that spring is in the air. Spring has sprung. And I'm excited because this is my birthday month. Hey, I haven't been excited this in a long time. Well, I don't remember being this excited about my birthday. But nonetheless, this was not about me. I don't know if you were tuned in earlier during Birgitta's show where she was standing in for Khosi. She touched on finances. How many of us have our finances in order? If, you know, your bank account was to be open right now, how would it look like? Ooh, I don't think I want to go down that road. But nonetheless, here we are, we find ourselves. So friends, before we even go too far, let us open in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is thy kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Friends, I don't know if you struggle with this thing, forgiveness. A lot of us struggle with it, and somehow we are not afraid to just go on in our day, go on through our lives and never really taking stock of what forgiveness actually does for us. Some of us actually have a problem with forgiveness to such a degree that, you know, when you tell somebody, forgive, they think you're doing the other person a favor. They think forgiveness is not about you, but forgiveness is about the next person. And so they will then go around and say, yeah, but why should I let them go scot-free? My friend, I want to share a story with you of the impact that forgiveness has on your life when you refuse to forgive. It is such a big impact that most of us never realize how much unforgiveness affects us. And so I hope this story will kind of shed some light. But as well, I'm going to help us just deconstruct what all of this means for us, for our health, for our mental health, for our spiritual health as well, when we teach ourselves to forgive. I remember when I was growing up, we used to listen to stories, and whoever was going to tell the story, they would open with the following line, "Kwasuka sugela," which means once upon a time. Now, this story is true, and it is rather close and a very touching story. It is about someone who held on to unforgiveness until the very last moments of their lives. So we had a friend who was in a marriage that was, well, unhealthy, where the husband was just doing his own thing until such time that she was very ill and her family came and took her in the, from their marital home when she couldn't even move or do anything. And they took her back home and they nursed her. Two of her friends were with her throughout. And as the weeks and months went by, they started to see their friend deteriorate. And it was also sad because even the parents saw their child deteriorate right in front of them. And there was nothing that they could do. And so people around her were praying. And in their prayer, they were asking God, God, could you not heal her? God, can you not heal her? But unfortunately, she succumbed to her illness. And I remember at the funeral, the pastor who was officiating then came and said, you know what? It's not that God couldn't heal her. It's not that God didn't want to heal her. And this lady had died, I think, in September of that year. So it was this month, a couple of years ago. And the pastor was saying as far back as February, she had asked God to just take her home. But she was still around with us. And the pastor said, you know what, when we were praying for her, God gave me word and said, look, I can heal her. That's nothing for me. But one, if I heal her, she'll go back to the toxic life that she was living and it would not serve her in any way. And if I heal her, she'll still go back to this husband who is not loving her. And whatever I've healed her from, she would then get it again. But what was very pivotal and very telling and what the essence of today's topic is about was the fact that she had not forgiven the husband, even though the husband was not even remorseful at any stage, was the fact that in her last days, she kept zoning out. Basically, she had died, but she kept coming back. In and out of consciousness, in and out of consciousness, until her parents heard her repeating, I forgive you, and saying the husband's name, I forgive you. And then she would fall out of consciousness, come back and kept saying, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you. And once her heart had actually forgiven, that's when she could go home. And friends, this story is no different to so many of us in our lives today. This story is no different to many people who are just walking around, either have contracted things like cancer, either they're living with headache, chronic headache, they are living with all sorts of ailments, but they are not willing to forgive. Some people would actually rather hold on to unforgiveness and then suffer than actually say, I forgive you to somebody else. They actually would rather suffer themselves than forgive the other person because they think that forgiveness is about the next person when it is actually just about them. Forgiveness is about your heart, my friend. Forgiveness is about you freeing your heart and giving your heart to those wings to fly. And so we keep holding on to things that are unnecessary. We keep holding on to things that enslave us. And we don't realize that it is actually us who are suffering, but not the next person. There's this movie that I love, The Shack. So there's a part where Mac is taken to a place where his daughter was buried. But before he could find that place, before he could be shown where the body is, Papa says to him, Mac, I need you to forgive. And then Mac stands and he says, no, but I want him to suffer. And one thing that we forget is that when we want the other person to suffer and we want to be forgiven ourselves, we cannot be forgiven because we are holding on to that bitterness. We are holding on to that anger. And yet, we, when we pray that prayer that I opened with, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, is that the requirement is that God would forgive us as we forgive. So if you refuse to forgive, how do you expect to be forgiven? You first need to give. You first need to forgive. Because again, how do you go to church? How do you praise God? How do you raise your hands up high and say you're praising God? How do you go about your day knowing that you and I are sinners and we have this body that is wretched, this body that is full of sin, and that daily this body is leading us and causing us to sin? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, the Bible tells us. And so with this body, we constantly sin. With this body, we need forgiveness. But for as long as you are holding on to that unforgiveness, you are not forgiven, my friend. I don't care what you say. You can quote every other scripture, but this prayer that Jesus taught his disciples clearly tells us that for us to be forgiven, we need to forgive. And you remember that encounter where Jesus and he was with his disciples, and the disciples say, "Lord, how many times should we pray? 7 times 7? And Jesus says, "No, 70 times 7 in a day." And then here's what I also want to point out to you. Perfect love does not keep wrong, right? Or rather, love does not keep a record of wrong. And if love does not keep a record of wrong and somebody has offended you and they come to you and ask for forgiveness, and then you, with that willing heart, with that obedient heart, you say, "I forgive you." It means that you've wiped the slate clean. And when that person comes back to you and says, "I've wronged you, please forgive me," you cannot count and say, "This is the second time today," because love does not keep a record of wrong. And once you've forgiven, you've wiped the slate clean. So if you've wiped the slate clean, you cannot come back then and say, "But I forgave you," because then that means you did not really forgive. And if you also bring up the wrongs of others after you have forgiven them, that means God will deal with you in the same manner that you treat others. And the Bible clearly also tells us that how can you say you love God whom you do not see when you do not love your own brother? How can you claim that this person you love? How can you claim that you love God when this person that you see, when this person who is in front of you, when this person who sleeps next to you every other night remains unforgiven by you? And you cannot love this person, but you claim to love God. It doesn't work that way. You have to let go first. You have to forgive first before God can forgive you. It is not me saying that. It is the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples when he said, "After this manner, therefore, you shall pray and say, 'Our Father.'" And then he says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive." So whichever way that you forgive is how God will forgive you. So how, I ask you tonight, how do you want to be forgiven? How quickly do you want to be forgiven? And let's talk about your health. Let's talk about the pain that you carry. Let's talk about your need for justification, your need for wanting to hold on to that pain, your need for justice. How many times have you done wrong and God forgave you? How many times have you done wrong and you have been forgiven? How many times have you needed forgiveness and it was freely given to you? But maybe that is just you being self-righteous and you think, "No, I'm still not going to forgive." Maybe you were molested as a young boy by somebody you trusted. Maybe your father abused you. Maybe your father neglected you. And that love that you needed, you never got. Instead, he was just hard on you. He neglected you. He was just right up the street and he decided to ignore you all their life. And now he's gone. And you kind of say, you know what? Good riddance, he's gone. And you're harboring unforgiveness. How does that serve you? That person is gone. Your unforgiveness is doing nothing for them. But what is it actually doing for you? How is it serving you any better? Because it's making you sick. It's making your heart sick. It's weighing heavily on you. How is it benefiting you to be an unforgiving person? Yes, we all have and are continuously offended. But again, you know, the issue of offense. Sometimes people, we say things and we are not even conscious of what we are actually saying. Have you ever heard somebody said, "I am offended"? It's because we have taken offense. I take offense to that. You fetch offense from where it is and then you take it and then you put it in your life. You put it in your heart and then you say, "You offended me." They didn't offend you. Yes, they may have done something. They may have said something, but it was your choice whether to accept or reject what they did, whether to take offense or leave offense alone. But no, you chose to receive the offense. You chose to be offended. And then out of you being offended, you then decide, "I will never forgive them." Okay, that's fine. Then you are never forgiven as well. Why don't we just stay there? You refuse to forgive, and therefore, God will not forgive you. It is all scriptural. I'm not making this up. Because our Father is looking to us. How is our heart? Do we have an unforgiving heart? And just like the story that I've shared, which is, and I'm sure, there are people out there who can come and testify and say, you know what, there was this person who did some horrendous things. And later in their lives, as they were nearing towards the end of their life, they had to go and ask for forgiveness to different people. How many times have you ever heard somebody say, "Hey, so and so, before he died or she died, they were calling different people and saying, 'I am sorry, please forgive me,' or 'I forgive this person,' and they were saying all sorts of things. How many times have you heard those stories? There's another story where a woman who was a Christian woman, and it happened that she was offended during an argument by another lady, and in that heated argument, she then says to the offender, "May you never die until you come and apologize to me." And you know the things that we say? This lady, yes, she felt justified to say those things because she was wronged. And so she uttered those words. Little did she know that those words were binding her. Came a time when she was very sick. And in her sickness, it was time for her to pass on. But she couldn't, because she had spoken a vow that that other lady must not die until she has apologized to her. But guess what? It was not that lady's time to die, but it was her time to die now. And so her words were binding her on earth until that apology was to come. But that apology was not coming. And so the people around her kept praying and asking God to show them why this person is being held back. Why is she not passing through? And through prayer, God revealed what had happened. And they were able to counsel her. And she was able then to release. And in her release, she could then peacefully die. So friend, what are the words that you have said? What is the unforgiveness that is lying in your heart that you are refusing to let go? How long are you going to hold on to it? And please don't get me wrong. It is a cruel thing that may have happened to you. you were justified in your pain, and your pain is valid. But that does not mean that you still need to hold on to the unforgiveness. Because for as long as you are holding on to that unforgiveness, God cannot do anything about justice in that situation. So it is you holding back justice for yourself. So how long are you going to hold on? How long are you going to be sick? This past Sunday, I had a wonderful testimony. And it was quite emotional, again, about unforgiveness. And God was reminding this person that, look, you were molested as a child, and you still harbor unforgiveness. And over a very short period of time, God healed him from the cancer after he had forgiven. So imagine how much God can do in your life if you just forgave. Imagine what would happen. What breakthroughs are there for you if you just open your heart and say, I forgive? My friend, I know it's not easy. I know even now your heart is wrestling. You don't want to let go, but you need to. You need to truly forgive. Open your heart. Open your heart and forgive. And if you are in that state of unforgiveness, I want to pray with you. But the prayer is not necessarily for God to heal you of anything and everything. But the prayer is that God may soften your heart. So I want to encourage you right now, wherever you may be, just let it out. Breathe it out. Just breathe in with me. And as you breathe in, take it all in. Collect it all from within. Collect it all from within your heart. And then I want you to just follow my lead. Wherever you are, just take these few seconds. And I want you to breathe. Firstly, I want you to make sure that you empty your lungs out. And then breathe in through your mouth and take it all in. And then you hold it in. And while you're holding it in, you just allow your heart to just remember all the unforgiveness as far back as you can go. And allow your mind to just take you through those incidents. One by one. And then I want you to let it go through your mouth. And when you let it go, allow yourself to truly let it go. So do it with me. Some of you may even be crying right now. There's probably justice that you'll never get. But because you are forgiving, it is better for you. There is a reconciliation that will never happen. But your responsibility right now is to forgive. Let it go. It is not for me. It is not for the offender. It is for you. Your heart was created to love. Your heart has wings. That desire to fly. So let your heart fly. Forgive. Father God, we thank you for this moment. Father God, I pray that each and every soul that is listening to this message, that each and every heart that has been listening, Lord, that you may touch their heart, that you may touch their heart, Lord, and soften it up, Lord. Touch it just like the jumper cables, Lord. Jumpstart that heart. Let it come alive again. Let it come alive in the name of Jesus. And let that heart forgive. Teach that heart to forgive. Because, Lord, no one can be as offended as Jesus was on the cross, and yet he still chose to forgive when he hung on that cross. And so, Lord, we thank you for the heart that is forgiven. We thank you, Jesus, that the heart has forgiven. Lord, we thank you for the power of forgiveness. Lord, we thank you for the gift of life. Lord, we thank you that a new day is dawning and that things are changing because we have forgiven and we shall say,